open up to the book of Proverbs. Today we're going to be in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a great book. Lots of wisdom in that book. Proverbs, that's it. It's a fun word to say, isn't it, Brother Larry? Proverbs. Proverbs, good name. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 29, looking at just one verse. We'll be referencing all kinds of different things all over God's Word today, but Proverbs 29, verse 18 is where I'm going to be. The title of today's sermon is Chasing Your Dreams. Chasing Your Dreams. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Here's what the Bible says. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just look to you for the blessing today, God. This is your word. We're your people, Lord. We know that you love us. You created us, God. You give us this entire world to be able to live upon, Lord. And God, I know there's trials and tribulations. I know that some of us go through difficult times, Lord, whether we're having financial issues, whether we're having health issues. But God, I know we can work together as a team and we can make it through, Lord. Why? Because you say, God, that through you all things are possible, Lord. So God, I pray, Lord, that you would just use this word today, Lord, to be able to bless us, Lord. I pray, God, that you would just anoint the holy word of God, Lord. You'd use me as a mouthpiece, Lord. And God, we would leave here as a different person than we came in today. Lord, help us as we worship you. For it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What a wonderful season this is. You know, it's beautiful. We have great weather. Mother's Day is just around the corner. People graduating soon. Graduation is exciting. You know, this upcoming Saturday, Sister Kylie's going to graduate, huh? Praise the Lord for that. That's good news, right? That means we'll have one more person to pay taxes in the world. Woohoo! No, I'm just kidding. But that's great. She's going to be graduating from ESU, so that's good. Looking for an elementary education teacher position, so pretty exciting. The following week, Evan and Josh will be graduating from Eureka High School, so praise the Lord for that. That's good stuff. Evan's going to continue his education at Butler with a full-paid music scholarship. I bet his parents are thankful for that, huh? Yeah. And then Josh, he's going to be continuing to work on his career as a programmer with the state of Kansas. So praise the Lord for that. Good stuff. Then on May 20th, Andrew's going to graduate high school from Emporia. So that's good, right? Yeah. He's going to continue that career over at Simmons. So good stuff. Good stuff. So there's a lot of great things about graduation. I mean, we celebrate accomplishments. It's good to have accomplishments in life. That's something that's enjoyable. Also, if when you think about graduation, what else is fun? Well, the same thing you have at wedding, right? Cake. Cake is great. So you get to enjoy a good piece of cake. One of the things I like at graduations, though, are the speeches. You get to listen to speeches from your classmates. And just to be honest, some of them are kind of inspiring. Some of them are funny. And some of them, well, they're kind of boring. And then you get to listen to the speeches from that person that they bring in. I don't know that famous person. What's that person called, Kylie? That person they bring in for speeches? What do they call that? Yeah, the keynote speaker, that guy. He's going to come in there, gal, they'll come in, they'll give a great message or put the kids to sleep. But either way, something will be delivered. There will be a message there. And out of all those speeches, there are just some great ones, you know. And I was looking through one, and this person had 50 different points of things that you could learn in life, but you'd never learn in school. Now, I'm not going to bore you with 50 of those points, but I will share with you 10 of them. And those 10 quick points that I'm going to share with you, if you are a new graduate, you may want to heed this advice, some of it. And if you've graduated many years ago and you agree with this advice, I want you to say amen when I get to the end of it, all right? Here's the first point. This guy, Charlie Sykes, a San Diego author, he wrote this. Rule one, life is not fair, so get used to it. Amen.
Amen.
Second one, he says, sorry, when you graduate, you won't make $60,000 a year right out of high school, and you won't be a vice president or have a company car. You may even have to wear a uniform that doesn't have a designer label. Amen. I like this one. Three says, if your teacher is tough, Just wait till you get a boss.
Amen. That one.
There's another one. It says this, four. It says, flipping burgers, it's not beneath your dignity. Your grandparents had a different word for burger flipping. They called it opportunity.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Rule 5 says this, if you mess up, it's not your parents' fault. So don't whine about your mistakes. Learn from them.
Amen.
Amen. Rule 6, this is one I just love this. I love this. It says, before you were born, your parents were not as boring as they are now.
Amen.
Your parents are boring because they got that way from paying your bills, washing your clothes, and listening to you talk about how cool you think you were. And so before you go trying to save some rainforest from parasites of your parents' generation, why don't you try cleaning your closet in your own room?
Amen.
Amen. The 7th one says, your school may have done away with winners and losers, but life has not. Next one says, your parents and your siblings, they're not as embarrassing as you think. What's embarrassing is your ingratitude, rudeness, and sulkiness.
Amen.
Woo! And then this is one some of you may like. Says, television is not real life. In real life, people actually have to leave the coffee shop and go to work. And perhaps my favorite as a computer guy is the 10th one. Be nice to nerds, because the chances are you'll end up working for one.
Amen.
Boy, that's some interesting advice. Graduation speeches are great, I'll tell you. And so today we want to congratulate Kylie and Andrew and Josh and Evan. We're excited about their wonderful accomplishments. And so we have a gift for them. And so you say, well, great. Is it cash? Because that's what everybody wants, right? Well, no, it's not cash. And then you say, well, maybe it's a signed Bible. Well, we kind of did that when you graduated from junior high. So I started thinking, what can I give our graduates that will be meaningful, that will be neat, that will be cool and techie, but will also be helpful to their life? And so what I came up with was to give them an Alexa, an Amazon assistant. And so I'm giving them all an Alexa, an Amazon Dot. And so that's a gift from our church to our graduates. And you say, well, I'm not a technology guy. What is a personal assistant doing? How does it fit in a little bag like that? Well, let me tell you, Alexa, she is fantastic. Alexa can read the Bible to you. She can order pizza for you. If you like to cook, she'll tell you how many teaspoons are in a cup. I mean, that's what she does. She can set calendar events for you, set reminders and alarms. If you buy the right other stuff, she can even turn on and off lights in your house, lock your doors. Alexa can do all kinds of great stuff, play games with you, tell you about the news, the weather, the traffic, whatever you need, this personal assistant can do it for you. So anyway, as the graduates come forward to get their gifts, let's give them a round of applause. So Kylie, Josh, and Evan, if you guys would come up. And if you notice, their bags are even themed, thanks to Sister Deborah. Look at those colors, huh? Very cool, Kylie. Evan, here you go, buddy. Congratulations, dude. Praise the Lord. Andrew will be here on Wednesday, so we'll give him his on Wednesday. But yes, graduation is exciting. I can remember when I graduated, I was looking forward to what is the next chapter in my life bring? You know, no more school for a while. Hey, that's always fantastic. Well, except for Kylie. At least she gets to go back to school in a different role, though, this time. She doesn't have to listen. They have to listen to her, so that's a blessing, right? I remember planning out, what am I going to do over the summer? I mean, my last summer before I have to be a grown-up, right? And then I was thinking, well, what am I going to do? Am I going to continue my education? Am I going to get a job? I mean, where direction am I going to go? Where am I going to live? Because you can live anywhere you want. There are no strings attached. What I really remember most is dreaming. Dreaming is great. And you know, as adults, sometimes we miss out on dreaming. And I'm not talking about the dream you have when you go to sleep at night. I'm talking about dreaming for a future, a vision, something that you're looking forward to in life. That's what I'm talking about. It seems like when we're children, it's easy for us to dream. We dream about being all kinds of stuff. I wanted to be a cardiologist. You see how well that worked out. What did you want to be when you grew up, Sister Lorene? What was your dream?
Wow, a
A nurse?
Well, you've been taking care of people for a long time, so you kind of done that, right? That's not bad. What about you, Brother Darrell? What did you want to do? What was your dream as a kid?
Have fun.
There you go. Have you achieved it?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. That's good stuff. I don't know about you today, but I still have a dream. It seems like some people, as we get to be adults, we become fuddy-duddies. People say, you're kind of a fuddy-duddy. You stop dreaming. You stop looking forward to things in the future. And when we stop looking forward to things in the future, we might even stop enjoying life. You know, God has given us this beautiful planet. There's all kinds of wonderful things that we have to be able to enjoy. And so today what I want to do is take you on a little journey so you can begin dreaming again and talk to you about chasing those dreams. You know, I don't know what your dream is today. I hope you'll think about that through the message today and through the week. But I can tell you what my dream is. My dream is, and I think several of you share it, that someday we're going to have a level sanctuary where people with all abilities and disabilities, whether you're restrained to a wheelchair, whether you have a walker, you got bad knees or a bad hip, you'll be able to walk in here and worship God. Amen. Anybody else share that dream? Yeah, praise the Lord. That's going to happen. What dreams do you have? What dream did God put in your heart that has never been thought of yet, that has never happened yet, that no one else has ever created? What dream did God give to you that you should be acting on today? Think about that. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Folks, we have to have a vision. We have to have something to look forward to. We need to have a dream to chase after. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't know if Jesus has really given me a dream. Well, I would argue with you because Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Jesus has a future for you. He has a plan for your future. So today I want to encourage you to chase those God-given dreams. Go after those God-given dreams. Continue praying about them. Continue to work toward them. And listen to the Lord as He guides you and He leads you and He directs you. But whatever you do, don't give up. You see, nobody can force you to quit. The only person that can make you quit is yourself. So don't give up. You see, the thing about dreams are a process. It takes time. You know, I thought I would love to learn to play the piano. Do you know why? It's my favorite instrument. There's a lot of beautiful instruments, but I love the piano. You could sit down here and you could play classical music. You could play jazz. You could play hymns. You could do all kinds of great things with a piano. And so that's been one of my dreams. But in order to be able to do that well, guess what you have to do?
Practice.
You got to practice. You got to put some work into it. It takes time. God can give you the talent. He can give you the drive. But you got to do some stuff with those things that God gives you too. And so dreams take time. But time is, it's worth putting in the time. It's worth investing in the time. Think about this. If you had the choice between instant pudding and cook and serve pudding, what would you choose?
Instant.
Cook and serve. It always tastes better. Instant's faster and cheaper, but cook and serve is the best, right? What about this? Would you rather eat some Campbell's soup? It's pretty good. Or your mom's homemade soup?
Mom's homemade soup
every time. Takes a lot longer than 30 seconds to cook in the microwave, though, doesn't it? Yeah, so the good things are worth waiting for. There's some things in your life that you're going to have to invest in. There's some things you're going to have to go through this process to be able to get to the end. And so dreams, that's what they are. They're a process. They take you time to get to the end. I was thinking about dreams in the Bible. And, you know, there's a lot of wonderful dreams, a lot of wonderful things that God had given people. And I'm not talking about like the dream that Joseph had. I'm talking more about the plan and the purpose that God had for each one of these people's lives. You think about Abraham. I thought, boy, Abraham, he must have had kind of a hard job. God had showed him, he said, you're going to have descendants as numerous as the stars. I'll bet there was some times in Abraham's life where he probably went outside and he looked up at the stars and said, God, when is this going to happen? You've told me about this several times, but when? I don't see it. But he kept being faithful, didn't he? And he kept moving forward. And you know what? All of us are descendants of them today. So did his dream come true? Did the mission come true that God set him out for? Absolutely. But sometimes dreams take time. I think about God sharing with us, God sharing our dreams, God working these dreams through us. And I think about, what about the Israelites? As they were talking about, they were promised to go to the promised land. It was going to be the land of milk and honey, a beautiful place for them to be able to go. But boy, they had to go through a lot of stuff to get there, didn't they? The land that was promised to them by God through Abraham, they had to wander and wander and wander. And later it wouldn't even be fulfilled until Moses and Joshua came along. They must have had many days where they were working as slaves in Egypt, just wondering why they were going through what they were going through. They must have had many nights just wandering in the desert, looking up at the stars at night, wondering when they would finally make it to that promised land. And as we dream, we're going to run into challenges. We're going to run into difficulties. But don't let that make us get up. Because I'll tell you, we need to trust God for the journey and not just for the destination. Amen? You see, we live in this society that we want what we want, when we want it, how we want it, delivered to our front door. And if you know Amazon, they'll even put it in your trunk nowadays while you're at work. I mean, that's a society we live in. So when I'm talking about dreams take a process, that's hard for a lot of us to understand. Because we don't want to wait for things. We want things we want now, right? I'm the same way. I go to a store and they say, well, sorry, sir, we're out of that. But we can order it and get it in stock next week for you. Oh, that's all right. I can have it delivered to my door tomorrow through Amazon Prime for free. Or I can go to the store down the street and go get it. Why? Because we don't want to wait. But dreams take time. Sometimes we do have to wait. And while we're going through that process, God is refining us. He's working on us. He's molding us to be ready to be able to fulfill those beautiful dreams that He has for us. So like the old saying goes, when the going gets tough, help me congregation, what? The tough gets going. And that's the kind of attitude we need to have. Not to give up when the going gets tough.
The tough gets
going. That's right. The tough gets going. James chapter 5, we're reminded. It says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And indeed, we count them blessed who endure. Now you think about this. You think about Moses. What do you think Moses looked like? George, what do you think Moses looked like?
Probably about 5'5". Has a V8.
Handsome looking guy, right?
Yeah, just like me.
There you go. Praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Good looking man. You know, now Moses, he had to go through this process for 40 years. He was in Egypt. He saw his people being beat. He ended up being wandering as a shepherd for 40 more years in the desert. And then God calls him back to go free those people from Egypt. And it wasn't just a 2-minute deal. It took him months. It took him weeks. It took him years. 40 years. Now he's an 80-year-old man and he's supposed to go back to Egypt? 80 years old? I mean, would you go back and try to free people when you were 80 years old? You know, you must have a flat sanctuary. You'd be like, hold on, let me tell you. You know, that's getting up there, right? So, but you think about it. He went, he did it, and look at what happened. All because he had faith. All because he trusted in God. He didn't look at himself and say, oh, I can't do it. Look at me. He said, all right, if this is what God wants, I'll do it. And I think if you look at all the different examples in the Bible, you'll see there's a lot of people that went through a long process before they fulfilled their dreams. Noah. Think about Noah. Was that guy an expert carpenter? No. Not that I read. But he probably turned out to be a pretty good one at the end. But this guy's building a boat. It's never even rained before. You don't think during 120 years while he was waiting and building this ark, you don't think he ever sat one time and said, are there ever going to be any rain clouds? Like, what am I doing building this thing in the middle of land for? You ever wonder if that's what he thought? But it was a process he was going through to be able to fulfill the dream that God had. Abraham, back to him, you know, he had this promised son. When is this promised son going to come? He was probably thinking, when is this going to happen? And he got himself into a little bit of trouble, didn't he? Amen. Yeah, he got us into some trouble too. But yeah, he got into a little trouble and said he didn't have his kid until what? Sarah was 90 and he was 100. Judy, could you imagine having a child right now? No? What about you, Becky?
No.
No, no chance. Alva? You want to have a kid right now? She's like, I got all kinds of kids. What are you talking about, Pastor? Amen, I can't imagine that. And then there was Joseph. This guy waited 14 years in prison. He didn't even do anything wrong. His brothers sold him into slavery. Potiphar's wife put some false accusations. He's in there 14 years. So let me tell you, that dream that you have, it could take some time to happen. But don't give up. Keep on chasing it. I'll bet if I could go back and talk to every one of these people, and someday will in heaven, ask them, was it worth all those things you had to go through? Was it worth it in the end? I'll bet you they'd all say, absolutely. Absolutely. You see, they never gave up. They kept fighting. They kept moving forward. And I'll bet all of them had different questions. I could see Joseph sitting in the prison cell. I could see him sitting there sulking. I'd probably be doing the same thing. I would be sitting in that prison cell on those cold floors, just like, what's going on? Why am I here? I didn't do anything wrong, God. I'm following you. I've been doing what you want, and here I am in jail. For what reason? When is this all going to end? And what happened was the Lord was preparing him to be able to lead all of Egypt, wasn't he? But he didn't know that at the time. But did he give up? No, he kept following the Lord. And then you think about Job. Job, I mean, he was a good follower of God. He was doing all the things the Lord wanted him to do, wasn't he? And then he lost materialistic goods. He lost animals. He lost parts of his family. It was so bad for Job, his wife said, hey, why don't you just curse God and die? And his friends came up to him. Some friends, they were like, hey, bro, I don't know what you've been doing wrong, but it was a bad idea. You need to tell him. You're sorry. I didn't do anything wrong. And here he's sitting there. Why am I losing all these things? Why is my body frail? Why do I have these sores? And that went on for 60 or 70 years. But he held on. He said, God, even if God killed me, I would still follow him. Wow. Dreams take time. If you have a dream that God's given you and you think it's going to happen tomorrow, you're probably wrong. I'm not saying that God couldn't do it. I'm just saying through all this evidence, these things take time. And that through that time, God is molding you. Somebody once said that we're all under construction, and we are. God is continuing to work on our heart. He's continuing to focus on us because he loves us. And so I guess what I'm trying to tell you today, church, the thing that all these people in the Bible had in common was is they didn't give up and they continued to follow their dreams and they continued to follow the Lord. So I guess what I'm telling you today is the same thing, is to trust in the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know what the Lord is doing in this situation. I don't understand it. Larry might be saying, I don't know why I got to go through all these seizures. What is going on, Lord? I wish I knew the answer, Larry. I'd tell you, but I don't know. But what I do know is this, what it says in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I don't understand it. So folks, don't let Satan discourage you. Keep chasing your dreams, church. We're going to have a flat sanctuary one day, amen?
Amen.
Keep chasing your dreams. Kyle, you want to be a welder? Be a welder, brother. Do it. Josh, you want to be a programmer? Be a programmer. Church, whatever your dreams are, keep chasing those dreams. I'll tell you, because God put those seeds, those desires in your heart of what you wanted to be. That wasn't your genius idea. God gave you those ideas. You know, if you're a little boy and you've always liked bowling, like maybe Ronnie back there. Maybe Ronnie's supposed to be a professional bowler. Who knows? Who knows? But we got to keep going after those dreams. God gave them to us for a reason. And Satan's going to try to discourage you. He's going to put some roadblocks in front of you. He's going to hit you with a sledgehammer sometimes. And it doesn't feel good. And you know what he wants? It's for you to give up. And you know what? Sometimes we think about giving up, don't we? But I'm not about to lose the war. I'm not about to lose the battle. I'm going to fight every tooth and nail. So when Satan comes and he tries to fight and he tries to discourage us, I'm going to keep moving forward. Do you know why? Because of this. Others can stop you temporarily, but no one can stop you permanently. Say that with me. Others can stop you temporarily, but only you can stop you permanently. Yeah. So if you give up on something, it's not your mom's fault, your dad's fault, your wife or husband's fault. It's your fault. You gave up. God didn't give up on you. Your friends didn't give up on you. Your family didn't give up on you. And if they do, who cares? You got to do what you are called to do. Follow your God-given dreams. Josh came to me. Sorry about sharing this, Josh, but got to do it. Josh had an interview Friday to be able to go do this job. Great job. Great job. They're going to offer him a heavy, heavy wage for getting right out of high school. And a company car. All to go program some machines, lottery machines all over the state of Kansas or something. Right? Pay him a ton of money. And so, Josh, everything looks good. Josh asked all the right questions. He even recorded the interview. It was great. I listened to it. And so I'm so excited he comes home. And I said, Josh, how did it go, man? And Josh is like, I don't know, Dad. I don't know. He's scratching his head. I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Did they offer you the job? Well, yeah, on the spot. And I'm like, and what did you say? I said, I'd have to think about it. You have to think about it. Over $15 an hour out of high school, and you got to think about that? Yeah, okay. Dude, I would do a lot of stuff for $15 an hour out of high school. I said, what do you have to think about? And he said, well, I said, is it the technology? You don't know how to do it? You're worried about that? No, there is. That's the other thing, Dad. They're going to put me up for a hotel for a week in Topeka and feed me and train me. I'm like, yeah? And this is bad? How? Oh, no, that's good, Dad. I mean, that's good. But here's the bad part. I've got to drive all over Kansas. I might have to drive in big cities like Parsons. Parsons? It's not a big city. And if somebody's sick, I might have to go to Wichita. So what? I said, so why aren't you going to take this job? He goes, because I don't want to drive in a big city. Oh, you can't be a computer guy and work on a farm, son. You got to be a computer guy, you got to work in a city.
Yeah.
And so as I'm talking to him about this, Faith comes in. She looks at him, she goes, Joshua, you go out to your car right now. You grab that phone and you tell him. You examine your opportunities and it's a good one. And you're gonna take it. But you see, fear gets a hold of all of us. Fear gets a hold of all of us. And what stops us from moving forward, what stops us from accomplishing the dreams God gives us is fear. But you know, fear, we all know what it stands for. False evidence appearing real. But when it happens to you, it feels real. You're scared. You're nervous. Josh wasn't worried. He's like, you want me to climb on a ladder, install some towers, do whatever? No problem. I got to drive?
So did he take the job?
Yeah.
There you go.
He's gotta get a, do a background check on Monday, but all will go well, I'm sure. So, yeah, so he'll be in. I said, Josh, it doesn't matter if you fail, but don't stop trying. Amen. Go in there, fight the fight, see what happens. Who cares? Failure doesn't mean you lost. Just means you haven't won yet. Failure doesn't mean that you've accomplished nothing. Just means you've learned something. Failure doesn't mean you've been a fool. It just means you had enough faith to try it. Failure doesn't mean you didn't disgrace. It means you dared to try. Failure doesn't mean you'll never make it. It means maybe you just got to try harder. You know, in life, it's been said there's four types of people, and I love this. Four types of people in life. It says there's dropouts, cop-outs, hold-outs, and as Bill Cherry would say, all-outs. Dropouts are people who give up and they fail to take responsibility. Cop-outs are people who make excuses for why they can't do something. Hold-outs are people who wait too long and miss the opportunity because they were scared. And all-outs are the ones who take responsibility and move forward and take action. I don't know about you folks, but I want to be all out for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So don't drop out, don't cop out, don't hold out. Go all out for the Lord. The only person holding you back is you. Nobody else is holding you back. Nobody else can. It's just you. In Ephesians 3:20, it says, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. So many times we look at ourselves and we say, I don't have the energy. I can't move forward. I'm tired. That's Satan just trying to keep you away from chasing your God-given dreams. We can't give up, folks. I'm going to fight the good fight. I'm going to finish the race. And someday we're going to be in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
But until then, we got to keep on dreaming. We got to keep on moving forward. We got to keep fighting. And we can't give up. Here's some scriptures that have given me inspiration. And they're in your bulletins. And if you don't have one of those, they'll be on the back when you leave. James 4:10. Commit your life to God. Humble yourself. And He will exalt you. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. And James 4:8. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Folks, if God has really placed that desire, that want, that dream in your heart, He's going to give you everything you need to empower it. It may take some time. It took Noah 120 years. Abraham didn't have a kid until he was 100 and his wife was 90. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen because that's what the good book says. And I believe and I trust in the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
So you say, but Pastor, you don't understand. People make fun of you. They make fun of me for what I'm trying to do. There's always going to be scoffers. There's always going to be people trying to judge you and make fun of you and put you down. Why? First reason is because they're too chicken to follow the dreams they have. Much easier to sit down and pick on somebody else. But I want you to know that even the devil messed with Jesus. I'm not talking about the temptation either. I'm talking about his own family thought he was crazy. Yeah, this is a scripture you should look up. Mark 3:20 through 21. Listen to this. It says, then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is completely out of his mind. Even his family thought he was crazy for what he was doing. People may think you're nuts for what you're doing. But if God has given you that dream, don't give up on that dream. Follow it. If you have that urge that keeps coming to you, you tried to shake it off. You tried to move it in another direction. But it just keeps coming back. That's very likely a dream that God has given you that he wants you to continue, that he wants you to fight for. So who are we to give up? The Bible says in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, then who is against us, right? If God is for us, who is against us? We got to remember who our God is. We're so worried about what other people think. The God who created everything. The God who gave you a mind that can think. That's the God who's for you. Nothing can defeat you. If God is for you, who can be against us? So what do you think? Are you a child of God? Then is God for you? You have Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
What are you worried about? Keep chasing your dream. Pray about it. Seek it. And if it's a God-given dream, it'll happen. One last thought and I close. God-given dreams will glorify God. They'll help people. God-given dreams will draw people closer to Christ. God-given dreams will help us to develop our character, who we are inside, our confidence, and will even test and move our commitment to Jesus Christ. That seed that God gave you is a seed. And you know, seeds can live, or they can die. Your job is to water the seed that God gave you. God may have given you a beautiful voice, a beautiful talent to teach, a beautiful talent to do, name it. But if you're not putting any work into it, if you're not trying to develop that gift, it's just going to go to waste. But God wants to water it. He wants to watch it grow. He wants you to be the person He created you to be. Don't let anybody hold you back. And don't hold yourself back either. So I ask, these graduates accomplished something. They made it through 12 years, 16 years of school. It's a big accomplishment. And they're just getting started. on whatever their path is that God has taken them down. What about you? It doesn't matter if you're 20, 15, 75. God still has a plan and a purpose for you. We wouldn't be here today. So are you following that dream? Are you following that purpose? Are you following that passion in your heart? Or have you let it die? Dream big. Dream big for Jesus. There's nothing He can't do. What has God enabled you to do that doesn't even exist yet? A year and a half ago, we didn't think Ronnie slacking off on his bulletin job would have profited the church so much. But what happened? We got a man down there looking at buy, sell, and trade his phone. And normally he brings me cool stuff like, look at this truck, check out this engine. But he brings me a popcorn popper. Dude, what are we going to do with that? What does popcorn have to do with church? Well, I was thinking that maybe we could make kettle corn. We could bring people to Christ. We could witness to them, pray with them, make money for the building fund. With a kettle corn popper? Do you know how to make kettle corn, bro? No. You can learn anything on YouTube. I was the scoffer. I was the guy who I'm telling you not to be. I was the scoffer, like, Ronnie, I love you, bro, but we should pray about this. Which is another way of telling him, buddy, you need to seek God and hand out bulletins. What are you doing looking at popcorn bottles? But we talked about it. We called the people. We were talking about it at church. And this generous man, he said, you don't need to pray about it. God has laid it on my heart. I'm buying it. We're moving forward. Okay. Then the dream started to become in fruition. Now we have half the church helping with the kettle corn machine. We have a trailer. We've raised over $600 yesterday. Amen. Towards the building fund. We got a new prayer request. People were praying with one another, ministering. We even had another group of people come over and talk to us and say, man, that's awesome you praying with that person. All because of a dream. And that dream's not done yet. God is still working miracles through that dream. Folks, I don't know how popcorn has anything to do with church.
But it's working.
But it's working. I don't know how whatever God has laid on your life has to do with God's ministry. But let me tell you, if you give it to the Lord, He will do great things with it. It doesn't matter what other people think. It matters what God thinks. Don't give up. God has given you a dream. Chase that dream. Make it happen. Do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can never outdream our Lord and Savior. Ephesians 3:20 through 21 says this, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or even imagine. I can imagine a lot of stuff. According to His power that is at work within us. Listen to that again. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. Remember, folks, with God, all things are possible. How many things are possible with God?
All
things. That's right. How many things are possible with God?
All
things. So let's get out there and let's chase those dreams. Let's stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You today, God. And Lord, we don't come before You because, God, our hearts are broken. We come before You, God, because You've given us dreams. You've given us passions. You've given us things to follow, God. And Lord, maybe some of us, we've been diligent and we're following that dream. We're chasing it. Maybe some of us today are discouraged, Lord. Family's making fun of us. People at work are making fun of us. God, we just don't know how it's going to go on. Lord, I pray that this message would be a message of inspiration, God, that would help us to get up, Lord, and to keep following that dream and to keep pursuing that dream, Lord. I pray, God, that You would light a new fire in us today, God, for us to become the people You want us to be, Lord. Stop worrying about the rest of the world and do what You call us to be. God, only we can do what we can do, Lord, and You can do what You can do. Lord, help us to lay the rest at Your feet, God. We know You love us. We know You're our children, God, and we just want to serve You today, Lord. So, God, please help us. Lord, as we open up these altars for prayer, if there's somebody that needs to come up here, maybe there's somebody that says, you know what? God put a dream in my heart and I gave up on it because financially I don't see how it's possible, or because I don't have the skill, or because I'm getting older, or because I'm just too scared or chicken or whatever it is. Why don't you come up here and talk to God about it? Say, Lord, here's what it is, Lord. I need your help. God will answer your prayer. He loves you. But remember, dreams are a process. It may take some time, but don't give up. The Lord's shaping you. He's preparing you. He's getting you ready for what's next to come. Thank you, Jesus, for the way you love us. Thank you for the way that you hold us in your arms. And thank you for the way that you shape us today. If there's anybody that needs to come pray, you're welcome to come and pray about anything.